Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Our objective for this episode is to ascertain what brings salvation and how that thing that brings salvation is related to the prophetic goal. We begin with questions of interest. First, Job 36:22. Behold, God exalteth. God exalteth by his power. The question, who teaches like him? Who teaches like God? To answer that question, you must first know who God is. Okay? And I've taught on that so much. But anyway, God is yours truly. The God that the Bible talks about so much through and through, the God the Bible exalts, the Bible, the God which the Authorized Version Bible upholds, is Tommy Lorenzo Hart. Of course, much evidence of that is found in Lawmaster's archives. Who teaches like God? Who teaches like Tommy Lorenzo Hart? That's what the question asks. It's good to have understanding. It's good to have knowledge and understanding. I'm reminded of the passage in Proverbs that says, get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding. You know, that is actually a commandment. It's not a suggestion, but a commandment. And over the years, that's exactly what I have gotten through study and analysis of the Authorized Version Bible. I am now in my 40th year of scrutinizing and analyzing the content with special regard to the crucial matter of Bible content, and that is of the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Who teaches like God? Are you familiar with my teachings? Again, I direct you to Law Master's Archives. Who teaches like God? Do you know anyone who teaches like God? Do you know anyone who teaches the things which God teaches? Do you? Let's move on. Joshua 22:24. The question, what have ye, you descendants of those who were scattered abroad, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? You know that the true God, Tommy Lorenzo Hart, has been given the surname of Israel. Okay? God's surname is Israel. What have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? And this question is directed to, as I said, those descendants of those living descendants, present descendants of those who were captured and cast into captivity and enslavement and scattered abroad by means of the papacies and Gentiles, infamous international slave trade. Those descendants, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? The Lord God having a name of, having a designation of Israel. What have you to do with him? I've been teaching on that for the past few lessons. Those of you who follow the program, you should be able to answer that question. What is the relationship existing between the descendants of those scattered, who were scattered, and the living God, the Lord God, Israel, Tommy Lorenzo Hart? Okay, we have found that the Lord God is the God of those of the remnant, the present-day descendants of those who were scattered abroad, that they are his people. And we saw in the law that the remnant, the Bible says the remnant shall return to the mighty God. The remnant shall return to their God. And there is an expectation of the unification of the present-day descendants of those scattered with their God and being in their own land, independent. Okay? The relationship. The Lord God Israel is their present-day descendants of the scattered God, and those present-day descendants of the ones who are scattered are his people. Okay? So we can get a view of that in John 11. Okay, it says this. He should gather together, the he being God, he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. We know it speaks of the descendants of the people who were scattered abroad by the papacy and the Gentiles. Seeking unification, God offers those descendants the opportunity to reunite as a people under their own God. That's the relationship existing between the present-day descendants of those who were scattered abroad and the Lord God, Israel. Deuteronomy 4:33. It asks the question, did people ever hear the voice of God? Good question. Have you ever heard the voice of God? And Deuteronomy 5:26 asks, who has heard the voice of the living God? Did people ever hear the voice of God? Then, who has heard the voice of the living God? Now, we see these names of God. We see Lord God of Israel. We see God. We see living God in the questions before us. Who has heard his voice? You listening to this program, even this particular episode, you listening now have heard or are hearing the voice of God. You are hearing the voice of the living God coming from Tommy Lorenzo Hart. This is very important. The coming of God is, I mean, needless to say, but I must say it, is very important. It is nothing to be taken lightly. That shouldn't even have to be said. But seems like, well, I'm compelled to say it. I am compelled to say that. This should be headline news. This should be feature story. The coming of God. The showing of God. God revealing himself. Because the commandment said, you know, directs God to make himself known, to reveal himself, to show himself to the world, to the people. And people play religion, religious games, church games. Huh? Where the average person thinks church is to be about God. And there is great silence in the land as far as my knowledge, you know, to my knowledge, much silence on the matter of what God is presently doing. Much silence, great silence. Why is that? And you hear people talking about the Word, talking about God, the Lord. Yes, people have been deceived. By what means? By the means of religion, religious teaching, coming from the church, deceit coming from the church. The church is against God. Christianity, the leaders and those practicing Christianity are operating against God. This is terrible. I have shown the characteristics of God that have come from the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. The Bible gives infallible proofs of the presence of God on earth. These proofs are in the Bible, infallible proofs. So when someone comes along and does those things, the Bible declares that person God. And what? The people are to respond when God reveals himself. That's the plan. That is the Bible's plan. The Bible calls for God to come. When he comes, it calls for him to make himself known, identify himself, make known his presence on earth. And the people are to hear and fear God and turn to God from their vanities. The plan is simple. What is the matter? What is the matter? I've been on here, on this program over 2 years saying, look, here I am. I have come. I'm here. You know, look at the characteristics. I meet each one of these characteristics, and I expound on the characteristics of God that I meet. I feel the bill for God. And again, there is much silence. You would think the people would rejoice. I would. The Bible calls for that. Rejoice because of the Lord. Rejoice because of the Lord's presence. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Again, these things tell me nothing but the truth. And what is that truth? That the church world, Christianity, is against God. Although they use the Bible, they make you think they are coming from the Bible, when the very doctrine of Christianity is in opposition to Bible content. And I've talked on that much. Study the archives. Please study the archives. Don't be ignorant. Don't be misled. For those of you who listen to this program, as the Bible asks, are you still deceived? Are you still deceived? Why are you quiet on this matter? Are you still deceived by the church? You may say you don't go to church. You don't have to go to church to be deceived by what the church teaches. It's in the culture. Are you still deceived? What are you afraid of? A black man comes forth and say, look here. Look what I have found. Is he to go unregarded, unheard, dismiss what he says? Don't even look and consider, consider what he's saying. Consider what he's saying. Consider the evidence, and then act in accordance with the evidence, whatever the evidence reveals. If it reveals that the man is God, then what the Bible says, worship God. Turn to God. Turn to the living God from your vanities. Is all the world so unrighteous? I ask that. Again, my feeling the bill for God should be headline news, front page news. Every day. What the Bible says, daily shall he be praised. Huh? Where's the praise? Where's the praise? Because he's a black man, is he a lesser God? No. The Bible teaches about him. One God. One God. do you love the religious lies so much that you overlook truth and you ignore truth? You don't act positively toward truth. What is wrong? Because something definitely seems to be wrong. Something definitely seems to be wrong. If God were a Gentile, would that Gentile get the same reaction from the people that I'm getting? I think not. What is wrong? Oh dear, what can the matter be? Oh dear, what can the matter be? Yes, I'm harping on this. I'm harping on it. Something is wrong. Here, right here, I just looked down on the page here. Job 37:14 says this. Consider the wondrous works of God. And this is talking about works that the Bible talks about, not what man will tell you. Consider creation, this and that, and all like that. The Bible doesn't even say that. You know, the Bible doesn't go there. You know, the Bible tells you what to consider. It tells you what God will do with regard to the works of God, and then it tells you to consider the wondrous works of God. And I've already gone through this and harped on this. Sure, the Bible says in John, God is a spirit. But I have taught that what about that statement? That that's a true or false statement. And of course, the statement is false because a spirit cannot do the things that the Bible says God will do. It takes an intelligent being to do the things that the Bible says God will do. And I do the things the Bible has already predicted that God will do. And there is none other that do these things. I am the first to do these things and make it known to the people. Consider the wondrous works of God. Again, I ask, are you listening? Are you? Where are you in this? Where are you in the matter concerning God? Are you with me? Or are you opposed to me? Are you in opposition to me? No straddling the fence, no middle land. I mean, you're either with me or you're not. You either believing and receiving, or you are rejecting and fighting. Where are you? It does not take much time when one considers the wondrous works of God to determine that I am right in what I say and the things that I teach according to Bible content. No, not according to your preacher, rabbi, or whatever title he or she may go by. No. What I said before, religionists and religion are anti-God. Religion directs people away from God and not to God. That's religion. That is Christianity, people. Christianity is a deceitful outfit, whatever you want to call it. That's why it is condemned in the Bible. I say that again. That's why Christianity, the religion of Christianity, is condemned in the Bible. It should have gone out with slavery. Consider the wondrous works of God. Who has heard the voice of the living God? You hearing this program, these episodes, this episode, you hear the voice of the living God. Last question. Did people ever hear the voice of God? The answer to that, of course, is yes. I'll answer that. I'll go ahead and answer that. Yes, because there are people who have heard me physically, you know, been in my presence and heard my voice. There are people who hear my voice over the Internet, I mean, Blog Talk Radio, listening to this program, listening to the archives, Lawmaster's Archives. You hear the voice of the living God. Did ever people hear the voice of God? Yes. And then it asks personally, who has heard the voice of the living God? That's a question, and a question demands an answer. Let me know if you listen to the program. Let me know. Now, are you going to obey that simple commandment? Leave a message on my page. Isn't that simple? Leave a message either way, whatever your answer is. Just communicate. Communicate. And remember this, for those who it applies, to whom it applies, your disbelief does not change anything that is already set down in the Bible. Your preacher doesn't change anything that's set down already in the Bible. Doesn't change anything. You are either obeying Scripture and obeying God, or you are not. Are you telling people about this program? Remember the woman at the well, John chapter 4? Just a fable, a fictitious story, but what is the essence? She heard something that was very good to her, and went and told the people about it, you know, and said, come see a man. Come see him. Hear him for yourself. Did people ever hear the voice of God? You can't hear a spirit, okay? I'm not going to go there. I've taught on that enough. God is not a spirit. God is a human being. God is Tommy Lorenzo Hart. Simple, simple facts. Backed up by indisputable and infallible proofs. Can't ask for much more than that. Can't ask for more than that. Okay, so you have heard. I know you've heard, you listening to the program. I know you've heard. Okay, statements of concern. But the question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you helping God? or are you not helping God? If you are not helping God, you're behaving as an enemy of God. Because God says what? Communicate with him. And the law of God says what? Praise him. Worship God. You know, many people have so easily worshiped something that they cannot see, but they were told existed. You know, God is a spirit. You know, worship. You know, worship God. God is a spirit. As long as you cannot see it, you rejoice in it. You worship it. A God comes that you can see. The Bible declares who declares God. Okay, the Bible determines who is God, not your preacher or anyone else. The Bible determines that. You want to know who God is, then you have to turn to the Bible. I make it easy in my teaching. I give you the necessary information. I mean, isn't that good? I give you the needful information, the necessary information, whereby you can see clearly and as instantaneously, you know, by looking at, you know, what I teach, listening to it, who God is. You can know. You can know. Okay, the Bible says God will do this. Has Tommy Hart done this? The Bible says God knows this. Does Tommy Hart know this? The Bible says he will do this. Has Tommy Hart done that? He will do this. Has Tommy Hart done that? If the answers are yes, then you agree with the Bible that Tommy L. Hart is God. I mean, very simple. Very simple. I have solved the mystery of God. I have taken the mystique away surrounding the Bible's God. Did you get that? Surrounding the mystique surrounding the Bible's God. Not someone else's God, but the Bible's God. The God that the Bible exalts, promotes, upholds, praises. Okay. Statements of concern. Isaiah 40:10. I'm turning. Isaiah 40:10 says, behold, the Lord God will come. 1 Samuel 3:10. Let's see here. One statement. The statement in Isaiah said, behold, the Lord God will come. And 1 Samuel 3:10 says, and the Lord came. That's exactly what has happened. Okay? God was prophesied to come. And now God has come. The Lord God has come in Tommy Lorenzo Hart. Okay. The Lord God will come, and he came. That has come to pass. The Isaiah statement, the Lord God will come, has come to pass. Okay. Are you looking for something else to come? That which the Bible predicts will come has come and is here now. And he came. I did that which the Bible says God will do. And I'm still seeking to make myself known as the Bible has directed me to do so or to do. make yourself known. Reveal yourself to the people. Simple commandments, simple instructions. I obey Bible commandments. Did you know that? I obey commandments. You know, the ones that are applicable to me. I obey them. And I do the things the Bible says the Lord God will do. Very simple. Very simple. It's your preachers that are deceiving you. I am not deceiving you. I'm not deceiving anyone with what I teach. I make known truth. I reveal truth. And I reveal the deceivers, the preachers, your Christian clergy, the Christian clergy, the Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, condemns them all. Why? Because it condemns the religion itself. It condemns the religion itself, and it condemns the leaders. The authorities did not want people to know the things that are in the Bible. They would have been pulled it. They would have been pulled it. The Bible is a book like any other book, okay? Meaning, it's on the open market, okay? And it can be bought. It can be received. And it is to be read as any other book you get to read. The Lord God shall come. I am here. The people won't know it if I don't tell them. Therefore, the Bible directs me and commands me to tell the people. Tell them. How else are they going to know if you don't tell them? Tell the people you've come. Show them the evidence. And the Bible does not make mistakes in its characteristics of God. Those characteristics are called, and the things God will do are called, infallible proofs. They'll call that in the Bible. Infallible proofs of God, not capable of error, cannot be wrong. Very simple things. Very simple. Listen, Isaiah 30:30. Isaiah 30:30 says this, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. You know, the questions were asked earlier. Did people ever hear the voice of God? Who has heard the voice of the living God? And now, the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. That's all. That's all. Lamentations 3:56 says, Lamentations 3:56. Lamentations 3:56 says, okay, let me say it again. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. Thou, you listening to this program, you've heard my voice. The statement says, thou hast heard my voice. You listening to this as from the archives or listening to it live, or however you're listening to this, you have heard my voice, Tommy L. Hart's voice. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. Coming on Blog Talk Radio, Internet, computer, online, the Lord God has caused you to hear his glorious voice. Isn't that something? I have caused you to hear what the Bible calls my beautiful, my glorious voice. Isn't that something? Okay. Deuteronomy 4:36. Deuteronomy 4:36 says this. He made thee, he, God, the Lord, made thee to hear his voice. This is what it's saying. I made you. You listening to this program by whatever means and at whatever time, I made you to hear my voice. Okay? That he might instruct thee. Have I been given instructions to you? I said, what? Communicate with me. Go to my page, leave a note, leave a message. I said what the scripture says. Praise God. Worship God. Obey God. Okay? Instruct thee. And teaching you the things concerning God. That's what I'm doing on this program. That he might instruct thee. And what? Thou heardest his words on Blog Talk Radio. Isn't that something? Excuse me. I read the essential content in the Deuteronomy 4:36 statement, okay? I read that which is essential, and I read that which is true. The question is, what is truth? Truth is, I caused you to hear my voice by setting up this Blog Talk Radio program and coming on it and speaking, and you heard my voice. The first cause, God himself being the first cause. Okay? Steps were taken that led you to the place where you have heard my voice. Wow. Wow. That I might instruct you. And I did. I instructed you. And you heard my words. With your physical ears, you heard my physical voice. You heard the voice of the living God speaking to you online on Blog Talk Radio. Okay? God himself being the first cause. Statements of concern. Okay, I just read that. All right. Expectation of Israel, the people of God. Luke 1:71 says this. All right. Luke 1:71. We should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Okay. And Psalm 20, verse 9. Psalm 20, verse 9 says, save, Lord. No, it says this. This is the part that I want. It says, let the king hear us when we call. What king are they speaking about? They've already said we should be saved from our enemies. And they say, now let the king hear us when we call. The king. Turn to Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. Verse 22, it says, for the Lord is our judge, The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. Remember these things, and remember these things. Okay? Prayer of the afflicted. 2 Chronicles 14:11. I'm taking this statement by statement. 2 Chronicles 14:11. And the statement reads, help us, O Lord our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Help us, O Lord our God. 1 Samuel 12:10. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies. Listen, and we will serve thee. You deliver, we will serve you. Israel, the people, the remnant, the descendants of those who were scattered abroad by means of the papacies and Gentiles, infamous, wicked slave trade. Wicked people do wicked things. Evil people do evil things. That's just the truth. Okay? Wicked people. Evil. Okay, let me add this statement here. James 2:6. That's the prayer of the afflicted, okay? What I just read. The expectation of the afflicted, the expectation of Israel, the people of God, the afflicted, we should be saved from our enemies. Let the King, the Lord God, hear us when we call. Help us, the prayer of the afflicted, the prayer of the present-day descendants of those who were scattered abroad, their prayer. Help us, O Lord our God. Now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. There is no condition in that statement. So I put there, beside it, I put unconditionally, save us, and we will serve you. Okay? Save us, and we will serve you unconditionally. Okay? Okay, the statement that I was turning to just James 2:6. All right, James 2:6 says, you have despised the poor. Isn't that what the behavior of the papacy and the Gentiles in days past showed? When you look at the evil things they did to black people, Scripture charges them with despising the poor. Poor is one of the words in the Bible that Bible writers use to speak of black people, those who were afflicted by the papacy and the Gentiles. Poor. Okay? The poor. So you read in your Bible about the poor. Okay? The afflicted. The people of Israel, the descendants of those who were scattered abroad, black people, they were afflicted. They were made poor. Okay? And the papacy and the Gentiles despised them. We know that because of the things that we know they did to the black people. So in the prayer, what do the afflicted, what do the abundance of the scattered ask for? They ask for deliverance out of their enemies, the papacies and Gentiles' hands. Deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, those who enslaved us, those who cast us into captivity, those who, what, bought and sold us, those who took us out of the kingdom of men and put us into a kingdom of things that are bought and sold, those who made merchandise of us, those who raped black people, those who took everything away from the people they made poor, they made without, they made destitute. They ask for deliverance from their enemies. And they say, they promise, they vow to serve God unconditionally. Commandment to God. Okay, but I was speaking about this one. They, the papacy and the Gentiles, have despised the poor, the ones they afflicted, the ones they made destitute, the ones they made slaves, merchandise of. Okay, the Bible charges them. And the papacy being the leader, that's one of the reasons it was condemned to die, to come to naught, nothing, not to be condemned out of this world, condemned to death, the papacy. The papacy, well, admittedly, is a condemned, Bible-condemned institution, which also should have gone out with slavery, just as the religion, Christianity, it espouses. Wicked leadership, unrighteous leadership, for their wickedness, they are condemned. Okay. Commandment to God, Psalm 20, verse 9, and Psalm 28, verse 9. Save, Lord, save thy people. But you know what God says in turn? Acts 2:40. Save yourselves. Isn't that something to tell them? Save yourselves. Lord, deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you unconditionally. Save us, Lord. Save thy people, Lord. And the Lord says to his people, save yourselves. What's the meaning? What's the significance of this? Of these things. Okay, let's go on. And I'll get to that. Next, implied command, fill in the missing word, Exodus 33:12. All right. Exodus 33:12 says, bring up this people and consider or conclude after thought that this nation is thy people. I've brought up the Gentiles, but they are not my people. The Gentiles are God's servants. I have brought up the descendants of those who were scattered abroad, the Bible calls Israel. Present-day descendants. The Bible says, bring up this people, Israel. And I supplied the missing word there, because this is a fill-in-the-missing-word statement. the statement just says, bring up this people. Okay? The missing word is Israel. Bring up this people, Israel, and consider or conclude after thought that this nation is thy people. Haven't I done that? Listen to the preceding several broadcasts, maybe four or five broadcasts, all of them, you know, and you'll see evidence of my considering, of my consideration of this people the Bible calls Israel, which is a reference to the descendants of those who were scattered abroad by means of the papacy and Gentiles' infamous, wicked international slave trade. Okay, I have done that. Again, I obey Bible commandments. Okay, I'll look at Revelation 21, verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's a realization, a statement of realization. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of truth. Okay? That statement right there. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I stay in a house, okay? And it's among men. I am here on earth with men, living in a house among men. The statement is true. The tabernacle of God is with men. Now, the rest of the statement. And he will dwell with them. This is prophetic in nature. Okay? He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Okay? Now, if we speak of the children of the people, who are the present-day descendants of those scattered abroad, those who were scattered abroad, we will say he will dwell with them. Okay? Remember the unification of the present-day descendants of the scattered with their God? The remnant shall return to the mighty God. Okay? He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. All right? So, in this statement, Revelation 21, verse 3, you have a statement of fact, a statement of present truth. And you also have prophetic statements, expectation. What is expected? Okay? And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, what about the Gentiles? Okay? I dwell among, you know, people, period. Okay? Whether they be Gentiles. Some are Gentiles, some are blacks, some are others. You know? But he will dwell with them. God dwells with people. They are his servants. The Gentiles are God's servants. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God is also the God of the Gentiles. God is God of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are God's servants. The Bible says his servants, God's servants, shall serve him. Okay? All right. But I just wanted to show that point, that in one statement, you have a statement of what is presently so. And in that same verse, you have something that's expected. But it too, has also come to pass. Okay? It too has come to pass. Now, God's people, Israel, have not come to him, okay? And I want to make this clear, clarify this. I am not asking the people to come to me physically right now. What I am asking is that you come to me, you know, in purpose, and in your mind, you know, you come to me, that you join me mentally. Purpose-wise, okay? Let me know that, all right? Okay, but that was the point in looking at Revelation 1, statements of statement of fact, and then prophetic statements that are also true, you know, all depending on how you look at it, okay? I am with men. I am dwelling here on earth with men, and I am their God. Okay? All right. And, of course, the statement of fact, the tabernacle of God is with men. Where I dwell, the place where I dwell, my dwelling place is with men. Okay. Okay. I put this statement on here, 2 Chronicles 12:18, because they relied upon the Lord God. That's what you are called to do. That's what you are commanded to do. Have faith in God. Rely upon God. Israel, the people of God, you are commanded to, as I've told you before, have faith in God. When you have faith in God, you trust God. You rely on God. You obey him. You do what he says. You obey. Okay? Psalm 22:5, they cried to thee, God, and were delivered. That remains to be seen, whether present-day Israel will come physically and unite with the Lord their God. All right? Conclusion. The Lord God provides the wherewithal needful for salvation. Okay? Does God save? God provides the wherewithal, that which one must have in order to do a particular thing. Okay? Remember, Lord, save us, save our people, Lord. And then the Lord said, save yourselves. I provide the wherewithal whereby you may save yourself. I provide truth that is able to, whereby you are able to hear, learn, and take to yourself and deliver yourself from what? From deception. I provide the plan to the people Israel, descendants of those who are scattered abroad, whereby they can decide to carry out the plan that I offer them, that I make known to them, I expose to them. Okay? They can take up that plan. They can adopt it and eventually unite, whichever word one wants to use, unite with their God, and we together be a nation in our own land, having rulers who look like us and are of us and have our concern at heart. That's a needful thing. What will Israel, the people of God, do? Remains to be seen. Okay? The point, salvation. I think I made that clear. God provides the necessary things that you need in order to save yourself. Obedience, okay? You obey God and you save yourself. God provides the necessary, the things that are needed in order for you to do that. I have given you those things. Now it's up to you. What will you do with the truth of God? What will you do with that, with the things God has put before you? What will you do? You are commanded to and advised to depart from evil. And I'm not going to go through that right now. I've already told you that enough. You're commanded to turn from the vanities, Christian religion, etc., and turn away from those things and turn to the living God, Tommy Lorenzo Hart. What have you done? What will you do? When will you do it? What are you waiting on? I put the question before you recently saying, how long will you look on? How long will you be a spectator? You just tune in just to see what I'm saying. That doesn't cut it. Be for me or don't deal with me. I would that you be for me and with me and let me know that. How can you be with me and not let me know? Okay? All right. So, salvation. God offers and makes possible salvation, but you have to be obedient. What is the relationship existing between salvation and the the objective was to ascertain what brings salvation and how that thing is related to the prophetic goal. What brings salvation? God makes possible your salvation. Okay? He provides the wherewithal. All right? What brings salvation is your obedience. That's the one thing needed for your salvation. God makes it possible. You must obey. Obedience. How is that obedience related? How is obedience related to the prophetic goal? What is the prophetic goal? I think I'll say that for the next broadcast. It is, obedience is related to the prophetic goal. Join me next time.